Radio presents the Geekatorium 27-hour podcast challenge, raising money for Comic Relief. Donate now by going to my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast. Fubar and Geekatorium, doing something stupid for a very good cause.
And we're arguing over heist films still. So where were we? Robert Shaw.
Well, we just mentioned John Travolta, and I was thinking we could bounce off this neatly into my favourite tagline of all time. Have you done taglines?
No, but I'd like to.
Okay, so we all love, you know, in space no one can hear you scream.
Yeah.
And so forth. But one of my favourite ones ever was from a movie I don't remember the title of. John Travolta was in it. He was a terrorist. He was bald. Anyone?
Oh, yeah.
Within the last 10 years, it was something to do
something
with France.
Animals.
It was French. Yeah.
It was French, right? It was set in Paris. He was a terrorist.
Was it a
The tagline was something like "One city, two cops, no merci."
Oh,
it was terrific.
That is hacking at the best.
It
best
was
standard
wonderful.
Hacking. Yeah.
But have you got any favourites? Have you got favourite
the
taglines?
The thing is, I don't have. I have a very horrible memory where I can't remember the nice things I'd like to say to you, so I'm like scratching at the one.
Reservoir Dogs, that's a heist film as well.
Well, it's like Die Hard, but a good one. You know, it's like 33 floors, 12 terrorists, 20, yeah. Whatever hours.
Eight penguins.
Yeah, whatever.
The quarterback is toast.
That one was nice.
We're back to Die Hard.
One quarterback.
I'm beginning to wonder if I'm having Die Hard issues.
Could you pick a film and then try and do a 3-2-1 tagline for it?
Ooh.
So, what have you seen recently? Or like The Equalizer. I saw the Denzel Washington Equalizer remake. So that would be like one guy, loads of bad guys. One guy. That's sort of how the film works.
One guy, villains, Home Alone. Because
yeah.
That ending is nice. Basically, it's like, you know, because the theory is, you know, Home Alone, the character Kevin McAllister.
Mm-hmm.
There's a theory in the movie.
The character Kevin McAllister,
yeah.
That is fun.
Grew up to be the killer in Saw.
Oh,
yeah.
That's great. Oh, I love it.
I like that theory.
Yes.
And I stand it. Or, if you really want to push it, The Collector, which is a very similar horror film.
Oh, yeah, okay. I like that. Characters being the same. Like, the obvious one would be Malcolm in the Middle, the dad from Malcolm in the Middle, then becoming Walt.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or, oh, my God, it's so late. My brain is just throwing out thoughts.
It's not actually late. It's only six.
For us.
I just love it.
Dede.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, just move on.
Other brilliant fan theories that I've heard about stuff. Love a fan theory. SpongeBob SquarePants. It takes place after a nuclear explosion. After a nuclear apocalypse.
Oh, and my favourite, The Flintstones is underneath the Jetsons.
That's nice. And that should be absolutely
right. Like literally
the Jetsons
hovering
live in
above
the sky.
It.
Oh, they
yeah.
do.
Hovering over this dinosaur.
So what happened to Hanna-Barbara?
What happened to the Earth?
They torched it in order to get up there.
The middle
they,
of it,
they just, they
is
just
it
left
like
them
that
behind.
Film Elysium, where
yes,
like everyone lives
yes,
in the ring.
Yes, it is. That's
and
great.
Then you've got the poor.
Slurs at the bottom.
You know, making it with the mutated creatures and John Goodman.
Yeah.
I seem to remember it being John
Which
Goodman.
You can
Rick
see
Brown.
At the start, like when they put that giant mutated rack of ribs on the side of Fred's car, which tilts him over.
Yeah.
You know, that's basically an apocalypse. If your food is a danger to you.
Yes.
That's how you know.
Let's create one then. Let's
Oh, pick a thing and combine the two.
Yeah. Alright. Let's
Teletubbies.
With fried green tomatoes at the Whistle Stop Cafe.
Oh god. Okay. So the link is that it's all happening in the mind of one of the rabbits. One of the absurdly long Teletubbies rabbits.
Mate, why are giant rabbits coming up again?
It's so fucking weird.
Fucking, I'm telling you, there's something freaky weird about rabbits, and it's fucking freaking me out.
Yeah.
Right, just wanted to say that.
They're insidious.
Did you say long rabbit? That's terrifying.
Yeah. Because well, that was the thing, because they wanted to make the Teletubbies look small, so they got the biggest breed of rabbit that you could get and
I'm
let
scared.
Them free around the thing, so they would look smaller by comparison.
Stretchy rabbits.
Teletubbies was almost a Dadaist nightmare of just...
Well, have you seen In the Night Garden?
Well, that was the other theory. Who had
What's
that theory?
What's the theory about In the Night Garden?
Don't you point at me!
For the benefit of the listener, the two men are pointing at each other.
Someone came in before and said someone had a theory about In the Night Garden.
It's purgatory.
It's the thoughts.
It's purgatory.
It's someone's
all
dying
dead.
Thoughts.
No, they're all dead.
Oh, yeah.
And that central character who looks like David Cameron
is the one dying.
Is the one who has to... Because he has to clean up all the time. He's always constantly atoning. Yeah. I've never seen that.
Oh, yeah, well, Iggle Piggle, the blue guy with the rag, he sits down and makes his bed on a boat on a lonely ocean at the beginning, and I do wonder whether that's him dying. But at the beginning, you've just got to see the end credits, because I would recommend any of your listeners, should they exist, listen to them, do exactly this, because it's almost this kind of emotional, hallucinogenic kind of drug trip experience. At the beginning, you see the guy making his bed on his little boat, and then it looks up into the night sky. And it's like in the, you know, when we were kids, there was just loads of really weird adult ideas in the TV shows, and then there was this really sterile period when we were teenagers where they were just really bland TV shows. This one, you look up into the stars, and then the stars blossom into white flowers. And honestly, I'm sat there next to my godson's dad going, oh, I shouldn't have had that second one.
Great. I get the impression if I saw that right now, I might have a panic attack.
Oh, but it's really nice. And then everything else is doolally in that show.
I'd like to think Rosie and Jim is some kind of sequel to Straw Dogs. I don't know quite how it worked it, but they've obviously escaped the cottage and moved on to a canal boat where they have a much more tranquil and agreeable lifestyle in uninterrupted by home invasion nasties.
I like that.
Yeah, we can do that.
That was meant to be shit, that Equalizer film, wasn't it?
Do you know what? It had a certain charm for the first two thirds, because it was him being lonely and obviously ex-military, but they didn't shout about it. And he just gradually, he didn't even seem to lose his temper with the villains. He's just like, I'm just going to get involved there, and I'm just going to get involved there. And it felt a bit like, I mean, it wasn't like the old, he's called Robert McCall and that's the only link.
But, exactly.
But it sort of felt like, this is a guy who's sort of had enough, and he's going to come out and. But the thing is, the original Equalizer, Robert McCall used to solve all the problems. I remember this every week. He used to go out into the middle of like a gangland shootout. This is being Edward Woodward, obviously. He'd just walk out and be English and go, "Now stop that! Everyone, calm down!" And everyone would, and the episode would end. Yeah, that was beautiful. It. But
just solve it.
The house
was just killing people in cold blood using.
Do they even use the theme from Equalizer?
No.
Then why bother even calling it the Equalizer?
What was the single most thrilling and scary bit of the Equalizer opening credits?
That man in the doorway.
The man in the lift.
In the lift, that's the one.
Horrific.
That was
just
brilliant,
a woman,
wasn't it?
A guy in the lift, the lights flash, and he just steps forward, like, just fractionally, and you're like, that is going to go so bad.
Because it did prey on the whole 80s New York fear, darkness, you know, unruly atmosphere.
Everyone was scared of gang violence.
It's thank God they had a Brit looking out for them. Because I don't remember too much about it, but I don't remember it being a violent show. It's kind of like a kind of one-man A-team.
You had to really look hard to fight. Like, one episode in 10, he'd actually fight someone. It was just the fact that he knew he could. He'd just walk in and talk people down by sort of just having so much status and authority that they'd just go, "Oh, sorry, Robert McCall, sorry."
Yeah, and unfortunately, the movie just has him turning into a man who's quite good with a nail gun.
Yeah.
Which, to be honest, I saw that movie. It was called Final Destination 2. It's the whole scene where, you know, that whole... I love those movies. There's something about those movies which are just... You know what you're getting on the door, you know? It's like, I don't care about plot. I just want to see really complicated Rube Goldstein-type death contraptions that take you down one avenue and then just at the last minute... It's like they drop a plate glass screen on a child in that film and destroy him.
Oh, yeah, because that is the whole way the thing works, isn't it? I've only seen, like, it's sort of on late on Channel 5 sort of thing. But I quite like the way the camera just follows around. Like, you go, oh, look at these eight things in this flat that could kill someone.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
He's taking a bath. He's just balanced a toaster above it. You know, these kind of things. Lovely.
It's the statue of Buddha crushes his head. You didn't expect that, did you?
Yes. That's what I love about it, because it's generally an unnerving concept to think that if I just press that button now...
Yeah.
That could lead to a complicated chain of events that causes my untimely death.
Only if death's out if you've cheated him.
What if I've escaped, you know...
Have you cheated death?
Yeah, because you have to cheat death first.
But have you cheated death?
Oh, all the time. In fact, the last 26 hours or so has just been
That's why the premise of the movies is so frightening, because we all constantly cheat death. We all have loads and loads of near misses, and the idea that that car that should have hit you 20 years ago could take the form of, you know, a stray marble rolling under your foot just when you're at the top of a
spike pit. I think it's only terrifying if you're the one left behind. Like, if you're... Because when you're dead, you're not going to care that you've been sliced in half for the plate glass window.
I still don't want to go through the process leading up to that. I don't want the ambivalence of death. Go, oh, I'm fine with the next few seconds of hideous, torturous death.
My worst thing would be to see you guys completely destroyed, decapitated, and then me be left here to carry on the rest of the show.
I wouldn't mind that, you see. I'd be fine with all you guys
You've
dying.
Got 4 hours and 50 minutes. You could do it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I could. And the explanation of how your deaths came to pass in what is essentially a padded room.
Yeah. It would be a great recording really of you losing your mind with guilt and sort of weeping and recrimination for 4.5 hours whilst we heard the police call in the background. Did you ever did you listen to Down the Line?
Yes.
With Rhys Thomas. Did you hear that final episode where it's
the
like
ghost
the ghost one where he's in a different studio and he's trying to do the show, but it's absolutely
beautifully done.
It's so well done. I've never had a conversation with anyone about it, but it's just it didn't seem to catch fire in that way that people should be telling each other about
you
it.
You know
it's
what?
So
that
good.
Is one of those radio shows that I can't tell people enough they need to listen to, because you watch Bellamy's People, the spin off of that. Yeah. It's just beautiful actors doing what they're great at, characters, mm-hmm. and that. Down the Line is one of my favourite things, and that ghost episode was just the one that was like, yeah, this is a keeper, this is the one I'm going to keep forever. Because they have dealt with it, because they also call it like his mental breakdown when they bring him back for the next season. Like, yeah, sorry about that, it was the cleaning lady. But
can you get radio shows illegally online?
Yep.
Yeah.
I imagine.
I would, in this day and age.
We've got the production come in. We need to get the anti-poet in now. Stroke soon.
The anti-poet?
Anti-poet.
Who am I
stroking? Is it Rob someone?
They're out there now.
Oh, is it different Rob?
Oh, hello, the anti-poet.
Okay. Hello. Oh, well, it's quarter past. Okay. I could make room for a poet.
Is he aware of it?
Who?
Him being a poet.
Oh, mate!
Do you think I give two
worse than this?
Do you think I give two fucks? Do you think I give two fucks at this point?
You never give two fucks.
It's not right now. I really have trouble just staying upright is a constant feat.
I'm okay, man.
Get a sneeze.
Woo! Wow. Let's record that and cut it out, because I think the bit where I went, good as a knees, was really pathetic.
It was quite gay, like your proposal.
Hey!
Sandling has arrived, fresh from his stint amusing children.
Oh, thank God. It means he can sit here and fucking beat the music.
I love Richard Sandling, and I'm sorry I'm not going to share airtime with him.
He's the one who told me that the Tinky Winky theory.
What's the Tinky Winky theory?
No, not Tinky, Night Garden.
Night Garden.
Purgatory.
Oh,
theory.
Really? So that's got Sandling written through it like a stick and rock.
He could expand on that.
Dudes, I'm going to bail. People plugging things? Are we allowed to plug stuff?
Absolutely.
Please go for it, man.
Hey, you should all listen to my podcast. It's called The Comedian's Comedian, and I interview people in depth about how they do their stuff. No, I didn't like plugging it. Can we take it back?
It was serviceable.
It can't be unplugged.
I felt I should tell people about it because I think your listeners might like
they
it.
They will like it. They'll like you. Podcast. They've already fallen in love.
Thanks, man. You're welcome. It's
Phil,
great.
Do you have anything you'd like to hock?
Yeah, I'm doing a show at the Vaults at the moment. There's only got like 3 performances left, so it's kind of...
So not
if you just happen to catch yourself,
not bothered.
Just tomorrow, skip this what's it called? Come to see a show. It's called Battle Axe.
Oh, Battle Axe. Oh,
yeah,
sweet, sweet, sweet.
Yeah, we'll just go and make up some comedy and come down and see us tomorrow night. Sunday's very chilled. It's a very chilled atmosphere. And it's in a cave underground.
So which you is pretty get sweet. The
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like mining comedy.
Mining comedy. Do you have a canary in a cage that dies when your jokes do?
Yesterday we had a literal cat invade the... not a figurative cat. An actual cat
invaded... Those are the best kind of cats.
This sounds like some horrible
venue.
Boutique pop-up comedy shop. I don't like it.
Riddle me this, humans. I am the literal cat.
Awesome. Right, in that case, we're going to use this next piece of music as a changeover. So, Stuart, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Bill, thank you very much. And let's go with some So Long and Thanks for All the Fish by Neil Hammond. Hannon. Neil Hannon. Oh, my God.
Great.
So long and thanks for all the fish. So sad that it should come to this. We try to warn you all, but oh dear. You may not share our intellect, which might explain your disrespect for all the natural wonders that grow around you. So long and thanks for all. fish.
Presents the Geekatorium 27-hour podcast challenge, raising money for Comic Relief. Donate now by going to my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast. FUBAR and Geekatorium, doing something stupid for a very good cause.
Welcome back to FUBAR Radio. I am Paul Gann, part of the Geekatorium, and we are... I'm just going to round it up to 20 past six right now to help me mentally get through it. And we're 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 5 hours on the clock to go in our 27-hour podcast stream, non-stop fun factory of love. And yes, please donate. If you've got the time and the money and the sense, please go to my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast. And yes, it's a mouthful, so if that's a problem, go to foobarradio.com or go to geekatorium.net. You'll see the Comic Relief logos there and the FUBAR logos. Click on it, donate. As little as a couple of quid, as much as many pounds. Whatever you want to give, we'll gratefully accept it. Now, in the studio, we have turfed out stand-ups and brought back in a little bit more class. Gentlemen, would you like to introduce yourselves?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
We are the anti-poet.
Anti-poet. Well, and without trying to sound facetious, what makes you an anti-poet?
Well, we write honestly and we perform honestly. Yeah, a lot of the poets just get up there and talk a load of bollocks.
Fair enough. I mean, stand-up.
Yeah, well,
similar evil.
Where is that line and where does it blur between stand-up, poetry, rap, music? It's all the same,
yeah,
isn't it, really?
I think it just basically depends on what you sample.
It seems to be, yeah.
And so how long have you... come on, forgive my brain for...
We've been going for 7 years.
Thank you very much.
7 years treading the boards...
Man and boy.
...up and down the country. No, we're both, obviously, clearly...
Yes, there are two very handsome gentlemen in the room. We have Paul and Ian. Thank you very much. Ian is straddling I want to say cello.
Oh, I wouldn't say a cello for God, I'd say double bass.
Thank you very much. Because even though I knew that was wrong, I still felt compelled to say it just to finish that sentence to prove that I can still do that. So yeah, a double bass. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's a marvellous machine.
How long does it take to... I mean, right, okay. It's a stupid facile question, but how long does it take to master that kind of thing?
I wouldn't say I've mastered it. I just blag it.
That's great. That's perfectly fine. I love it.
He's a very good bass player,
yeah.
But he normally plays, you know, rock bass, but rock bass looks ridiculous in a poetry act. So
yeah, fair enough.
I just said at a whim one day it would be good if he had a double bass. He'd look a lot better. The whole silhouette thing would look good. So he had to get one and learn to play it.
Have you been next door with Mark Watson's event?
We haven't been in there, no.
Oh!
We should have done while we were waiting, shouldn't we?
No, we're all breathing in and out of that place, but the thing is, I don't know who's been there and coming in here and who's just coming in here, so it's all this weird kind of... I have cabin fever is basically what it comes down to, and I'm not completely sure you're real yet. So I believe I'm just going to leave it to you to just regale our audience with whatever you feel is appropriate.
Should we give them a little bit of poetry?
I think we should.
Give them a little bit of this. This is a piece we wrote. We were told, boys, you want to make some money out of poetry, you want to get yourself a little bit of a reputation, you want to get to Edinburgh, to the Fringe. That's what they said to us. Get yourself up to the Edinburgh Fringe. You can't fail to get a review.
Yes, you can.
So we went there. We failed to get a review. We went there again. What did we do?
Failed to get a review, didn't we?
We went three times.
Three, and every time.
We failed to get a review. But people reviewed us. You know, people do these days. They sit there at the back of a gig with their phone and their 140 characters, and they do... send, and there's the review, and they're never very nice, are they? So we wrote this piece to all those people that have seen us in the past and have reviewed us themselves on Twitter.
Ooh, nice.
And one day we're going to find out who they are. In the meantime, this is called Everyone's a Critic. Sir, he knows more than enough. He's got a university degree in very clever stuff. His counsel's often courted by emperors and kings, billionaire collectors of tat and tacky things. He'll draw on education, experience and taste, and publish an opinion which is generally misplaced. He calls his view objective, dispassionate and frank, but shows that he can't tell the difference between art and art house wank. I say, why can't he tell the difference between art and art house wank? We don't need credentials to know when we've been conned. We know pretentious when we see it. We know of what we are not fond. We may not have the eloquence, the training or the class, but we know a fucking artist with his head stuck up his arse. We know when creativity has crossed the line. So we don't need you to tell us what is shit with added shine. We can tell talent from hyperbole, a genius from a crank. But art for art's sake posturing is still just art house wank. I'll say art for art's sake posturing is always art house wank. So everyone's a critic these days with an axe to grind, a laptop and the pseudonym with which to hide behind, passing vengeful judgment of his honest peer critique, condemning innovation if he doesn't fit the clique. But art that doesn't spark debate and make some punters stroppy isn't art at all, it's merely advertising copy. So if you're feeling self-indulgent with your page or canvas blank, well, knock one out before you start. Save us from our ass wank. Go on, knock one out before you start. Save us from our house wank. Knock one out before you start. Save us from our house wank.
Nicely done.
Thank you, thank you.
I panicked there thinking, have I just interrupted that? Then it was like, oh, good.
Yeah, we were finished.
Oh, perfect. No, that was beautiful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Where else are you taking us now?
Well, it's the world
of performance poetry.
Yes, what do you know about performance poetry, sir?
About as much as I know about string theory.
Ah, well.
I appreciate it exists, but I have no dealings with it.
Well, it's what we do. Yeah. We're out there all the time. Whilst you lot are out there doing your comedy stuff, we're out there in the background doing the poetry stuff until they tell us to go away. And we have to sit at the back of a lot of gigs waiting for the people that really shouldn't be out. You know, have you ever seen these people?
Nefarious types.
It's often said that that poetry gig is more therapy, group therapy, rather than it is entertainment. And we've sat through a lot of shit. Awful lot of shit. The sort of stuff where you sit there and you think, I could just sit here and be polite, as somebody else has got a right to their say as well. Or I could stick forks in my eyes, you know, or I could just stick them in my legs and I'd feel a little bit better. So as a way of getting through those gigs, we wrote this piece, which is to all the poets who have gone before.
nicely, though.
This is called Random Words in a Random Order. Pretended she's a poet. She's got something on her mind, and she's attempting to bestow it. But she's not a friend of brevity, and editing's beyond her. So it spews like wordy vomit, and my mind begins to ponder. What the fuck?
What the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck?
What the fuck is she on about?
What the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck?
What the fuck is she on about? It's just random words in a random order. Random words in a random order. Random words in a random order. Don't clap because you'll think that you were trying to reward her. There's a bloke up on the stage. He likes to think he's from the ghetto. But his middle-class manners clash, all with his manifesto. He's rapping in an accent that doesn't suit his hue. Most of it is bollocks, and none of it is true. What the fuck?
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
What the fuck is he on about?
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
What the fuck
is he on about? It's just random words in a random order. Random words in a random order. Random words in a random order. Just put it down to an attention deficit disorder. There's a woman on the stage. Though it's half an hour later, she's still yet to make a point. It would be kinder to sedate her. Are we mocking the afflicted? Yes, we are. Shouldn't everyone be free to spout their raving rants, regardless of the quality?
What the fuck?
What the fuck? What the fuck?
What the fuck
are they on about?
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
What the fuck
are they on about? It's just random words in a random order. Random words in a random order. Random words in a random order. Some people call it poetry, but I just call it torture. Random words in a random order. Random words in a random order. Random words in a random order. As entertaining as a little kid with a recorder.
What?
Yeah, that'll do, mate, I think. Thank you.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Awesome. Let me just be amazing. I'm just going to pop out and say something to people out there.
Are you still switched on?
Mike Wozniak about because he's near... Oh, hello.
Are we still... We...
Bye, then. Sorry, continue, gents. My admin skills are becoming more and more lax throughout the night, I'm not surprised.
You've been here far too long.
Far too long. Far too long.
Really?
Brilliant.
Really?
You think so?
No.
Oh. Well, actually, the man has an answer for another one. Yeah, I was just thinking along those lines. Should we go there?
Yeah, go on.
Did you want another one?
Yeah, no, please.
I mean, it's giving the other fellow a chance to catch his breath.
I hate to feel terribly rude, but it's like I'm social networking and guest reader, and I kind of just want to give you the space and do your thing, and it's beautiful, and I want more of it. I genuinely want more of it. I'm really enjoying this.
Good, good. It gives him a break, so we'll keep going.
Yeah, even if that was true, the fact that you're here and being awesome just makes my guilt a little less kind of sweeter, you know? So, yeah, please take it away, whatever you've got, man.
Well, thank you very much. This is a poem. This is probably the only one we've ever done out of our full repertoire of offensive poems that has actually got us hurt, isn't it?
Yeah. Physical violence.
Yeah. I did get held against a shelf in a library by an elderly man who did what all people do listening to poetry. They listen to the title and they think, oh, that's shocking, and they get all offended and offensive.
Offensive, yeah.
Both. They get both. And they don't listen to the rest. So this is a problem that we face day to day, isn't it, with poetry. People don't listen to the words properly. And if they did, they would realise that it's not all about the title. So this is called Little Old Lady. I didn't bring me triangle.
Oh, ooh.
I'll hit this. Sorry, I'll hit this thing. She
She was a little old lady.
But she lived through two World Wars.
She was a little old lady.
And fought with Pankhurst for the cause.
Just a little old lady.
Neighbour everyone ignores.
Cause she smells of piss and toffees and wears Wellingtons indoors. Oh, coming to sit down there. It's a kind thing of me. There's some flapjacks in the biscuit tin. I'll make a pot of tea. And she hobbled to the kitchen. Her back is shepherd's crook, so riddled with arthritis I could barely stand to look. But she wouldn't let me help her. But she looked so bent and frail. She was just happy to have someone to listen to her tale. She was a little old lady.
She lived through two World Wars.
She was a little old lady.
And fought with Pankhurst for the cause.
Just a little old lady.
Neighbour everyone ignores.
Cause she smells of cats and biscuits and wears rollers at her doors. Well, she hasn't had it easy. She's a martyr to her pains. She stiffens up in winter and gets achy when it rains. She's living in a tower block up 15 flights of stairs. She never had a family, so there's no one else who cares. But she goes to church on Sundays and she tends her husband's grave. She's lonely and she's vulnerable, but she tries to be so brave. She's a little old lady.
She lived for two World Wars.
She's a little old lady.
And fought with Pankhurst for the cause.
Just a little old lady.
Neighbour everyone ignores.
Cause she smells of fags and kippers and strange cabbage through her drawers. She was widowed in her 20s when her husband went to fight for freedom from fascism. Cause he knew it wasn't right. He died so future generations had the right to be safe from prejudice and ideologically free. But his sacrifice was wasted on his widow with her claim that... All these bloody foreigners coming over to the heathen religions, the dirty foreign way, taking our jobs, stealing our houses and chugging away to our bloodline. It ain't right! That's who I blame.
Well,
she was a little old lady.
But she lived through two World Wars.
She was a little old lady.
And fought with Pankhurst for the cause.
Just a little old lady.
Neighbour everyone abhors.
Cos she smells of hate and mothballs and is Nazi to the core.
Thank you.
Awesome work!
Yes!
The fantastic Ian and Paul, the anti-poet!
Well, thank you, sir. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do you want to pimp anything, putting people in your direction?
Ooh,
please do.
We're playing in Guildford on this coming Monday evening, aren't we?
Yeah.
It's Monday, isn't it? Monday, the 2nd of March at the Keystone Summit or other pub. Yeah. We're doing that. We got a new album coming up soon. We're doing lots of festivals this summer. Look out for us on the festival.
Do you have a website? And the
we
old
do. What's the website, mate?
Four albums are online, which are on the antipoet.co.uk.
Okay, beautiful.
We've also got a website called rants.org, which is our performance poetry collective,
really.
So rants.org and the antipoet.co.uk.
Pretty awesome. Thank you for coming over and giving your time and talent, sir.
Thank you for having us.
Whatever you do this evening, keep it safe and keep it fun. But until then, thank you and goodbye.
Thank you.
And on that note, let's jump to a song after this little bit of information that you need.
FUBAR Radio presents the Geekatorium 27-hour podcast challenge, raising money for comic relief. Donate now by going to my.redneseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast. FUBAR and Geekatorium, doing something stupid for a very good cause.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, you have been gifted with the gift of something special, and he has arrived back from entertaining children legally. It is Richard Sandley, everybody! Back in the history!
It's me!
Welcome
so don't
back.
Worry, everybody.
Well, since you're here, do you want to announce the good news?
The gig is safe.
Not that good news.
Oh, well, the good news is we hit our fundraising target!
Hooray!
We did it, guys! We did it! But that doesn't mean you don't have to donate. You can still donate because we can take more than our target, and we want more!
More
money from you cheapskates!
More.
Except the cheapskates that give us the money.
But, yeah, we need that.
So if you want to donate, it is my.redneseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast. which is really the most catchy. The most Gannon-esque.
Yeah. Too much TMI.
Too much, yeah.
But if that's too confusing, go to foobarradio.com or geekatorium.net and you'll see the Red Nose Day logo.
And also, click on that. Yes, anyway. And also, if you want to hashtag 27hourpod, that's 27HRPOD.
That frankly, no one's used it.
No one's used it, but it will become a thing. Or text us, tweet us at foobarradio or at the Geekatorium on Twitter, and we will talk to you via cyberspace. Be like Lawnmower Man. It'd be brilliant. I'm back. Now I'm technically running everything, which is terrifying because I don't know what I'm doing.
It's fine, you're doing fine.
Brilliant. Eli's back. Eli's still here.
I'm not. I'm still here.
Still here.
Vaguely.
Just about hanging on by his fingernails.
I really have drunk way too much Red Bull.
Yes. There's no such thing. Well, there is legally, I suppose medically, too much Red Bull.
What is that?
I don't know. I think you've probably overdone the Red Bull.
It's just keeping me going now.
But hopefully we can get some sort of positivity to keep the vibe going.
Mate, I'm pure positive.
I know, you are.
Do you know what Paul said while you were away?
I love
that
Richard.
That was stupid. He said the idea never convalesced.
The idea never convalesced.
He meant coalesced.
Yeah.
He also said, were you here when he said noising makes food nicings?
No. No. We've got to think Gannonisms. I was here for the first one. What was the first one?
His major one for the first few hours was my ignorance proved me wrong.
Anyway, we're not
here to mock Gannon. We've got guests.
So we have Mr. Mike Wozniak.
Hello.
Hello. Mr. Finn Taylor.
Hey.
Yay!
Hey. Yes.
What are you doing here?
Just chilling.
Hanging out, checking out the scene, checking out the odour in the room.
Yeah, it's
funk is back.
It's funk. It's ripe funk.
Yeah.
Crosstown funk.
Crosstown funk in this room.
Crosstown crime funk.
It is, I mean, when I left at 3 o'clock this morning, it was a bit, you know.
You hadn't given it time to ripen.
No, yeah. It has. I mean, it's pretty awful. It's you only really know how bad it is when you come in.
Yeah.
But then it stays awful. It's not like you don't acclimatise to it. It's just
I'm not
disgusting.
Lie. I've been here for 4 minutes and I'm still on edge. Right, just, my nose thinks something bad's about to happen. It's a warning stench that I haven't recovered from.
Fight or flight.
Yeah. My adrenaline's kicked in because of how bad the smell is.
Yes, so
have you done it? Have you been here for anything else? Or have you just popped in for this?
Just been waiting outside for this for the last 24 hours or so. Waiting to get in.
And then, it's a very exclusive door policy.
It is. It's just a very firmly locked door with no evidence of how to get in. Yeah, that's fine.
So you got a gig later? Is that where you've popped in?
We've both got the same gig.
Wow. We're both looking forward to the same amount.
Mm-hmm. Synchronicity.
Where's that?
It's in Shoreditch, don't you know? Yeah.
London's fashionable Shoreditch.
Exactly, with the hipsters.
It's in the cinema. Rich Mix.
Oh, Rich Mix. Yeah, cool. Oh. They got a gig there.
Yeah.
I'm going to rock it. I'm going to rock it big time.
We both did the exact same gig about a year ago to the day, and neither of us enjoyed it.
Really?
And the headliner had a spectacular meltdown, even by his standards.
It's important to mention, it's not just us, we didn't enjoy it, the audience didn't enjoy it either.
That main room's kind of swampy.
As a capitalist experience, it failed on all sides. No one got their money's worth at
all. We were unified, though. Performers and audience were together in our failure to enjoy one another's company.
The great thing is, I think it sold out, so we can slag it off as much as possible without affecting sales.
It is weird when you have gigs. Was the audience bad?
I always find it much safer to blame the audience rather than trying to analyse my own act.
Yeah,
and considering maybe it needs further work.
Well, I've always said that I would basically never. I always at least have to half blame myself.
Right. Yeah.
I can't. I've only ever had two gigs where I know this is entirely your fault. But half of us go, you know what? This is all you. Meet me halfway, guys. But sometimes I quite like it when you have a gig like that, which is a bunch of bored, cool people, because you just kind of realise nothing matters. It's like, whatever I do, they're just going to be too cool to enjoy.
They're cool and bored, but they'd rather be cool and bored than in somewhere else where everyone else was enjoying it. So you kind of have to go, this is what you think entertainment is.
Bloody hell.
That's depressing.
Yeah. Well, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my, yeah, so they sort of heckle you by being bored because they want to be part of it, but they don't want to be seen to join in to and stuff like that.
Just hear the gentle lip smack of a sort of surly pout, that's all. Cutting through the silence.
When I used to do a lot of more sort of nerd gigs before nerd became slightly more popular, it was quite interesting to do that because if you got something wrong.
Is there a lorry reversing?
A lorry reversing. I have no idea what that lorry reversing
is. Get the studio out of the way.
Is that outside?
Did he think that this. This podcast thing is a protest.
That's outside. It's okay. It's not us. That's a car alarm. It's okay, guys.
It's not our fault.
Fine. Mm. No. But, what I used to find was I wouldn't get heckled so much as I would just get lots of people going, pushing their glasses back on the rim of their nose. All I could hear was, ugh. And it eventually was like this sort of weird clatter, like Triffids were talking. Just a really weird thing. So, yeah. Bored indifference is quite nice.
I had one the other night where I was just riffing out a new idea.
Oh, sure.
As I do. And,
As you're known for.
As I'm known for. at Angel Comedy Club on a Tuesday. No respect for the audience, but that's why I'm there. And a woman just called me a Nazi.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, not without no context, but not with enough. With enough context to call me a Nazi.
What provoked that?
I was talking about an old man eating a muffin.
Oh, yeah.
And how much it was disgusting because the muffin, he couldn't eat muffins. It kind of went into his face and then it went like, he had like crumbs in the sort of folds of his neck and it was a disaster.
So he was more sort of packing it rather than eating it.
He was keeping a food diary in his own neck. That's what I'm saying. And I was just trying to talk about this. Hadn't really said it on stage before. And I just said that if he did that when he was in a hospital bed, they would have unplugged him. Because it's like he's not present anymore. And then I think I said the phrase, you know, in 100 years when euthanasia is maybe more accepted, which was a mistake. I think I meant assisted suicide, not euthanasia. But anyway, she went, or go 80 years back, mate, the Nazis, one of them.
Oh.
And this was 3 minutes in. At that point, I went, I'm going to go. Because there's just nothing I can do.
Because
everyone agreed with it. Everyone went, oh, that is a thing. Yeah, yeah, she's right.
So you had to ditch your old eugenics manifesto that you were going to kick off with.
Eugenics is an odd thing.
I was talking to my friend the other day.
It's a bad thing. Let's say that. It's a bad thing.
Well, it's weird. It's bad, but it's not bad in movies. Well, I've seen loads of movies where the twist is it was eugenics. I kind of go, I need much more than this for this. I need a worse thing to be the reason all this happened.
I've got a friend I was talking to about Nazis the other day who has sort of told me that if he's ever in an argument with someone and someone brings up the Nazis, that's his clue that the argument is over.
That's Godwin's law.
Godwin's law.
Is that a thing?
That's an online thing. If
you've lost the argument as soon as you mention the Nazis.
Okay.
Unless you're having an argument about
there's a
the
name
Second
to it.
World
so
War.
So this is my friend has just sort of pilfered this off.
It's a well-known rule.
Oh, right. It's new on me. Okay.
But what I had, what I did for a week, which people didn't understand the joke of, was because I got so fed up with Facebook, just the comments, I'd post things and people would comment, but not really, like, take it literally, all the sarcasm I was doing. So I got to the point where I would just say things, and then in the comment I would just put, like Nazis. And that way, there was no one could argue because I'd already lost. I basically scuttled the argument before it started
so
by mentioning the Nazis.
Alternative to disabling the comments.
I just mentioned Nazis in the first comment. Then there's no argument to be had.
You pre-lost it.
I basically saved it by losing it.
Wow.
That's some smart internet
victory.
Because the only way you win an argument online is to not have one.
Yeah,
there are no winners in an actual argument online.
No.
Bloody hell.
Bit. You know. Sorry.
Don't be sorry.
So you had a Twitter argument with anyone?
I haven't. I'm not very good on Twitter. I tend to not engage particularly.
No.
I will basically once in a blue moon I will tweet purely in a self-promotional fashion to tell them about something I want people to come to, and all that does is alerts my very small following that they are still following me, at which point I get 10 people unfollowing me.
Yeah, I have that.
He really doesn't write anything apart from once every 3 months he tweets about a gig.
It's a real game of cat and mouse.
Yeah.
You want to let them know you're there. But then if you do it too often, i.e. once every 3 months, they go, oh, not this guy again. Oh,
come on.
It's like running the Wirecon on his entire photos.
Mike, I've just got a text, I don't know if you have, saying tonight's cancelled, massive power cut, so sorry.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, shouldn't it be Sods if it's Shoreditch?
I don't know how real that... I imagine it's real, why would she? She says left VM. Voicemail, I presume that.
Have we created that with our bad mouthing?
Your bad vibe.
You know what, That's karma, isn't it? It's sold out, it doesn't matter. Oh, there's power cut. Right.
Well, you still get paid, though, wouldn't you? Because it's, you know, that's the Elon.
Because
that's how comedy works, it's all fair.
Will we still get paid?
No.
You reckon?
No.
I think.
Definitely not.
I'd be very surprised if we did get paid.
But surely you've got some kind of complex insurance policy where you get... Yeah, you get.
I'm not even a member of Equity,
no,
mate.
Well, exactly. So, no, that's what I mean. Yeah. No, neither of us. Neither of us.
I remember thinking, isn't that why you have agents? You haven't got to be Tim and got to be with Equity. So that your agent just goes, this is what you have to do.
I don't know. Oh, sweet mother of God. I mean, I'm sort of relieved, and I'm also,
We get paid, it's a real boon for both of us.
I'm relieved, but I'm also hungry. You know?
Yeah,
main motivator.
I spent a lot of money last night on banking on that on that gig.
Oh, yeah, no, that's sure. Terrible when you're spending the money. Yeah, spend the money.
Yeah.
That's always a bad one, isn't it?
What a kick in the balls that could be.
A massive power cut.
What does that mean?
But this is in London. I mean, that's fuse?
Can we ring
him? What does that mean?
Can we ring him?
Because that's not far from here, is it? I mean, if
not
it's a
really.
Massive... I feel like we should know...
It would be like the whole block's down.
Yeah,
I mean, it's... Yeah, the whole block's down, man. The block.
Do we need to check what's happened outside? I mean, there was a car alarm at the same time. Has there been a nuclear blast?
I doubt reversed that far.
Have we... has there been a nuclear blast and we've just been protected by this sort of miasma in this room? Just some sort of chemical kind of shield around us.
It's the amount of ball sweat has built up over 20 hours to just provide...
We can never leave it or we will die. We will perish with everyone else.
It's the sort of industrial chafing that...
This is it, guys. This is it. This is us forever. This all we it. Have is some astronaut bananas, a packet of freeze-dried astronaut bananas.
Try those. They're very good.
I don't believe you.
I'll try an astronaut banana.
No, they are very nice, those astronaut bananas.
I don't know,
bananas.
But Eli, I mean, you look well-nourished at the best of times, and today you look in a real fucking state.
I know.
Say.
They taste...
I don't know, I can't see, I just made the mistake of sniffing it and I can't separate it from the general
odor. Just like, it tastes like chalky milk.
It tastes like this room.
No, it doesn't.
It tastes like the smell in this
room.
Are
you supposed to rehydrate it?
No.
That's just it, is it?
Yeah.
It's for astronauts, but there's, you know, no water and, you know, stuff.
They look like something that might have fallen off an old man's ass.
It was in that muffin.
Yeah.
They actually taste like blueberry muffins, even though they're a banana.
Half-eaten blueberry muffins. Picked from an old man's
neck. Our guest from earlier, Ashens, brought those along.
Did he?
Yeah. And he also brought those...
Good old Ashens.
Did you have the Filipino... pounded rice cake?
No, I haven't had the Filipino pounded rice
cake. Never
heard
of that before.
I'm not sure if that's...
There's a bit over there behind the laptop.
This?
Yeah. Oh. Give that a go.
Nope.
It's very powdery, I should have warned you.
Well, that tastes like I'm eating something out of a Hoover bag.
Good, thank you.
We all know what that tastes like, right, kids?
Yeah. Sucking on that Hoover bag like a nutcase.
Obviously, you had different punishments when you were naughty as a child. That is, do you want to try something horrible?
Horrible? I had a whipping boy that took my punishments for me. They brought in from Essex.
That's where I remember you from.
Yeah.
Yes. So what are you going to do now? Your evening's free.
I might go to Devon. That's what I'm thinking about doing.
Yeah, I might do that. Just walk into the sea.
Yeah.
Just keep walking.
You live there, don't you?
Well, I live there, yeah. So that's, you know.
Whereabouts in Devon do you live?
Well, in Exeter. So I say Devon when I'm sort of showing off. I live in a holiday home. I don't. I live in a small provincial town called Exeter.
Well, it's the biggest one in Devon, isn't it?
It's the biggest small provincial town in Exeter. In Devon. Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Did you come from Devon just for this gig? Lordy.
No, I came for this as well. Let's not forget. You've made 500 clips.
It's not for charity.
The double whammy of
exactly.
Of impromptu podcastery.
It's all for Chesedy.
Chattery for charity.
I did also see Nick Mohammed's show today.
Oh, I really want to see that.
A tiny bit early.
I really want to see
that. And it was really bloody good.
Yeah,
I've heard. All is not lost.
Oh, that's good.
You know, I came a bit earlier before this thing. Checked it out. Yeah. Have you seen it?
No. I'm sure it's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, he's very good, isn't he? So
I always
assume his stuff will be good.
He is really good, and it was a really good show. Even like David Elms, there's got a few other cast members, and Elms was ill. I didn't say why.
Oh,
and,
really?
One of their musicians had to kind of have a power cut.
Power cut.
he had a massive power cut. Yeah. And one of the musicians had to step in, and it was quite chaotic, but it was really bloody good. I recommend it. There we go. Plug. Nothing to do with what we're doing here, but you know.
Yeah, someone else is brilliant. That's what we want.
There we go. Someone else is brilliant somewhere else doing something else.
Yeah. Get well soon, David.
Yeah.
They didn't like the pounded rice.
What?
Fair play.
They didn't like the pounded rice.
Pounded rice, or even the astronaut.
The space banana.
Space banana.
What, are you mad?
It tasted like baby food, I imagine.
Yeah.
It was just a bit weird. It was too banana-y.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, it was like
banana mixed with milk.
It was like the fruit equivalent of a kebab. You know when it's like, yeah, it's meat flavoured meat. This is wrong.
Because no meat is that shape.
Yes. Yeah. I used to work in a kebab shop when I was
Elephant's leg. An elephant's leg would be that shape.
Yeah, the elephant's leg.
That's, come on, yeah.
But yeah, it was really
bring that
but
back.
Then it
would
needless elephant.
If it was that shape, it wouldn't all be meat. It would be like there'd be veins and a, it wouldn't just
all that kind of solidifies and homogenises.
When the elephant dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When they saw it off the elephant.
And luckily they've got sort of metal bones, haven't they?
My suggestion is...
They've got very funny metal bones.
always go for the shish.
Yeah.
Because it's actually meat.
Chicken shish.
Chicken or lamb shish. Cough the sunlight, because that still can be quite nice.
But you don't live in Turkish kebab capital of the planet.
No, I live in Benfleet, where, you know, there are some...
Some sponge some, meat. Some sponge
people
meat.
Who get cook those. It's really nice.
And some people who go missing.
Sure. Well, yes. But also, I remember the worst thing I ever cooked. I worked in the fish. I basically worked my way up and down the high street cooking in all the fast food restaurants. I just want to be a chef.
Working
so I just
slowly up to the comedy club
up
at
to
the
comedy
end.
Comedy club at the end. That was it. I worked at a fish and chip shop, and I had to make the saveloys, which basically involves boiling the saveloys in a tureen of water. Then you take them when they're cooked. Then you put them in a thing, and you know, then they're cooked when they go out. And the water was like luminous yellow from all the stuff that came out of the saveloys. Mm. I used to really like saveloys.
Do you know what?
Like, do you know what? I'm probably not going to eat the saveloys.
I love a saveloy.
Yeah, but like, I think doner kebabs can feel snobbery over like saveloys.
Do you know what it means? Do you know what it's derived from?
Saveloy.
Brain. Pig brain sausage.
Pig brain sausage.
Originally in Roman times,
it was a pig brain
sausage.
Is that true?
Yes.
Because you strike me as a quite skilled fabricator.
No, I'll admit the elephant's leg thing.
Only for the DSS.
A bit of an exaggeration. But no, I know, it is. Saveloy, it's an ancient sausage type.
Well, there was
they don't use brains anymore, obviously.
Enduette, which I had in France, which is basically sort of like an old, like intestines in a...
gut
sausage. Yeah.
Oh, I love a bit of
but it was too. It was like too much... It was like you could just too much offal taste. Do you know, like it was too much...
I watched a documentary about how they make Big Macs. Yeah. And like, as you watch it, it's like Jamie Oliver recreates it.
Yeah.
And it's basically, it's all this stuff from a cow that is... A butcher says is unfit for human consumption. And they clean it in ammonia.
Yeah.
And then it's
in
edible.
Ammonia?
The household bleach, basically.
Wow.
And then that makes it edible. And then I started just noticing. So you go to McDonald's, and once you know that, you start going, oh, yeah, you never see any of these cooking machines anywhere else, do you? And then you're convinced it's sort of like 3D printing out these burgers. It's just so wrong once you...
It's bad.
I've managed this year to... end of last year, to not eat... sort of ever? Fast food in that, like, not far, but like the big sort of hamburgery type things. Because I really like it, but I know it's not, it doesn't agree with me. But I really like it, but I have to just basically go, look, you know, have some chow mein from a Chinese instead.
Yeah.
Tough
when you're on the sauce, though, isn't it? Tough when you're on the sauce to stay so pious.
What I find the other thing is it's more for hangovers when you're like, I really want I want a bacon sandwich, but I'm trying to not have, I'm trying to be like, you know.
Yeah.
A fruit salad and yogurt doesn't really help you when you're massively hungover.
It doesn't fill the fat and salt craving that is raging.
Yeah. raging grease.
I don't know if I'll ever eat again. I think the Red Bull has broken. They've broken my stomach.
How many have you had?
11.
You will
probably get an ulcer or something.
In 20...
Because doesn't one of them have like 1,000% of something you're meant to have in a day?
Yeah, pig brain. Yeah.
No, look, what time is it now? How long have we got?
It's nearly 7 o'clock.
7, so we've got 4 hours.
I need you to pull me
through. And when do we start?
Well, it has...
8 p.m.
So I'm in 24 hours.
Wow.
24 hours. I've had 11 in 24 hours.
This is terrible. I can imagine you doing the same if you're like sentenced to death. I can
see
how many bullets have you got in each way. So you've only got one bullet each, right? And when we start, we've got... Okay, so some of you might miss. And we might... I mean, you're going to be dead, Eli. Within the hour, probably.
Fuck it all.
Yeah.
Because what all the Martin Watson lot are doing next door is that they're saying we won't have any coffee or sugar.
Oh, yeah.
I'd Malone start drinking booze at the end because it's better to just be a bit tired,
yeah,
rather than to be have these kind of things and keep topping yourself up because you just crash harder.
Yeah.
But you've gone completely the other way.
Fuck that.
Exactly.
He was drinking Red Bull. We started at 8. By 9 o'clock, he'd had a Red Bull. Yeah.
I mean, that is criminally naive.
I mean, that is... Yeah, that is.
Had you at least had a lie-in on the, no, on the day that it started?
Day one stuff, dude.
I'm okay. I didn't even have a lie down. It's all right.
Well, I was going to say, each one of those cans contains 400 and something percent of your daily B6
requirements. 143% of vitamin B6.
So that's per 100 millimetres. That's
what happened to the overdose. So
basically, there's 250 millimetres.
Yeah, that's so like
300% of...
300% of your B6. So
I'm always suspicious of things where you look at them and they go, fat, naught. Carbohydrates, naught. Sugar, naught. Protein, naught. I mean, what is it, then? Yeah.
Well, it's not anything. It's
not space juice.
And no one has had that much in such a short... I mean, it's a world first we're dealing with here, isn't it?
It's a good job you weren't having any of those, you know, those fizzy sweets
there's
as well.
There's 8-year-olds who have twice that amount before they go to maths.
Maybe. What I'm hoping is that if he has one more Red Bull, he gets Lucy-style psychic powers. 100% of his whole brain.
Maybe it'd be like the... maybe it'd be like Futurama, where he drinks 300 cups of coffee, and he's just like a sort of a speed master of Zen time control.
I'm feeling that. It does say,
Red Bull energy drink appreciated worldwide by top athletes, students, and in highly demanding professions, as well as during long drives. That's what it says on it.
Well, this is the equivalent of a long drive.
Yeah, I've been driving this desk for about 40 minutes now. Hey.
Nice.
Not crashed it yet.
Not crashed it yet. Well, there is. I haven't had to actually press any buttons. So we'll give it a go.
Well, in two minutes,
yeah,
you're going to have to.
I know, it's very exciting. I've got a song.
What happens in 2 minutes?
Well, we have to end this section because every hour we stop because every hour is a new hour.
Okay.
So in 1 minute's time, I will. Yeah, see?
Producers are really thrilled with this.
They love us.
Never overestimate your audience.
She's been here a few hours, and I think she's lost her shit already.
She's been here several hours. She only lost her shit recently.
But she lost it well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, textbook.
Textbook shit. Mate, you lost your shit.
I have been losing my shit on a 2 hour basis. Every 2 hours, I go, fuck this. My brain don't need this.
Screaming.
Yeah. I did start 1 hour by just screaming for 5 seconds and then going, and welcome back.
And then you start doing the pidgin English, going, me no speaky good no more.
Wow.
Well, on that note, we have to say goodbye and we'll play a song. So we'll be back in about 5 minutes.
Fubar Radio presents the Geekatorium 27-hour podcast challenge, raising money for comic relief. Donate now by going...